When was your last checkup? No, not you. Although that's important, too. But when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Chevy Drive Chicago. Schedule a service appointment at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer.
Go Bears indeed, and welcome in the Happen OB Draft Show, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Andy Mazur back with the guys. It's great to see you both once again, and we're talking Bears football in late April as we get ready for rookie minicamps and training camp, and then eventually we'll get to that regular season. But of course, top of mind for us today is the NFL draft, which is still going on. They are in round six. The Bears do not currently have a pick in round six. They have two left, and they are both in round seven, picks 239 and 241. But gentlemen, the first round pick we talked about a little bit off the air, Dylan Thienemann, the safety from Oregon, seems to be a consensus, a pretty good pick.
Andy, what I mentioned to Dan when Dan came and picked me up, bring me to the office here, okay? And which I just mentioned to you, I was sitting there watching television, and when that happened. When that happened, I said, Cole Kmet's gone. You took a tight end? You took a tight end when we're desperate on defense, especially the defensive line, and you did what? You drafted a tight end? We've got the best one in the league, the second best one in the league, and we just had one that was pretty damn good. He played most of the year, too. And you drafted a what? A tight end?
Yeah, Sam Roush was the tight end in question here. He was drafted in the third round, pick number 69, kid out of Stanford. And, you know, it was funny because I was over at Channel 9 doing TV last night. And as we were kind of looking through the draft, you know, obviously day one was only the first round. And day one seemed to be Ryan Poles' day because Ryan made the pick of Dylan Thienemann. And that's certainly something that I think the
safety that was a great pick.
That was
by
a great
way,
pick.
Andy.
Day two, which happened to be rounds two and three, really appeared to be Ben Johnson's day at the draft because it was all offense and some repetitive situations, as you just talked about.
Well, guys, real quick, you know, and let's just do a little recap here. And it's easy to kind of be a naysayer about what has happened in the last 3 days with this draft. Now, first and foremost, congratulations to the Bears. They won the division. They won. They actually won the division with 11-6 record. By the way, Kevin Warren has basically made a laughingstock out of the organization because of this stadium fiasco. And he was brought here 3 years ago to, you know, make the deal, make it happen. And here 3 years later, it's a, you know, late night TV punchline. Ryan Poles has done a decent job, especially in the first round. Obviously, Caleb Williams falls in his lap. But, last year, I made this comment. I said, hey, there's no doubt about it. And I told Ben Johnson when I walked up to him over at Soldier Field a week later and shook his hand, and I said that this draft was not anything to do with Ryan Poles. Colston Loveland was your pick, and he gave this wry smile, and I knew exactly that is exactly what had happened. But all that being said, you know, Ben Johnson is the reason for this amazing resurgence of the franchise and being able to come out of nowhere last year as the last place team in the division and find a way to win it late in the year by beating the Green Bay Packers. Now, all that being said, this draft to me it comes under the heading of one word, OB, arrogance. There is an arrogance right now that I'm not happy with and I don't like. And I'll tell you, think about this, folks. Our defense gave us a chance last year, not because they were, you know, powerful and aggressive and adept at it stopping all. They were amazingly, you know, their amazing ability to turn teams over. We led the league in interceptions and turnovers. All that being said, we let our best player on defense, Kevin Byard, walk. We let him walk right out the front door, and then we have to go and sign Kobe Bryant, who may be an upgrade. Maybe. We don't know yet. But Kobe Bryant from the world champion Seahawks. And then we have you know, the situation where now we don't have a chance to go and get the best defensive lineman on the board at pick 25. We have to replace Roquan Brisker, and we drafted Dylan Thinneman. Now, we all agree, Thinneman's a good player. He will be one of those guys, you know, that we can count on.
He's going to be a difference maker, Dan.
Yes, for the next 10
years. Mark my words, he's going to be a difference maker.
But, again, the arrogance of this team not recognizing the what's right in front of them, which you alluded to, which is we haven't had a pass rush since Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks was here. And what's that been, 6 years? We are desperate for difference makers on the defensive line. And they don't grow on trees, OB. You got to draft them.
Right, Danny, and to our listeners and Andy, folks, this not only is my belief, but I what I'm going to say, I believe in it so strongly. If you want to be, you play this game. If I said it once, I've said it 100 times. You don't play this game to come in second. You don't. And you better have an ownership, management, a head coach, and assistant coaches and players that totally buy into that theory. I'm going to tell you,
Yeah. It makes sense.
Let's real quick, Andy. Let's think about this. Did Kobe Bryant and the safeties win the Super Bowl? No.
Not normally.
No. It was the pressure applied by the front of the Seattle Seahawks against the player of the year in Drake May. Drake May was awful. Because why? Because of pressure. Something we are incapable of creating because we do not have enough good players up front.
Dan,
so, again,
let me just jump in here quickly on that, what you're just talking about and what I tried to allude to a minute ago. Let me tell you something. This game has been, is now, and forever will be one up front. And if you don't have people that believe in that theory, you got the wrong people. You've got the wrong people. The offensive line and defensive line, that's where it begins and ends. You could have the greatest quarterback in the world and have him behind the worst offensive line. He's going to get killed. You're going to lose. And if you don't have three down linemen, four down linemen, or five, whichever system you want to play, and you don't have a linebacker or a defensive line, you're going to lose. That's where this game is won. Up front. And how many years until last year did it take for this organization to wake up and figure that out?
Case in point, they rebuilt the offensive line through
yes.
free agency with Joe Tooney and Dolman and Johnson.
Dan, but it doesn't take a damn genius to figure this out, that where the game is won.
But
you were a world champion. I played on a world championship team. We've been there. We understand it.
Evidently, the arrogant people up at Hallis Hall do not believe it, and we'll talk about that when we get back.
Up front, that's where the game is won.
All right, our first time out, Hampton will be Draft Show, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Welcome back. Hampton will be Draft Show, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. The show off the air is almost, well, it's as good as a show on the air sometimes.
Well, the one thing about it is, and let me just finish this point, and OB, you brought it up about drafting the tight end, Sam Roush. And folks, we're not saying that Thinneman is not going to be a great player, or Roush is going to be, an important part. But the arrogance, we had, Smythe, but no, we let him walk, and now we have to replace him because we all know.
That's the stupidity of it, Dan.
Well, Ben Johnson wants to go 13, which is, one back, three tight ends, a lot of the time. And we're going to get more into this tight end, proliferation, because everybody in the league, it's a copycat league,
yep.
folks. And, yeah, the Bears have two special ones. But at the end of the day, part of the reason why we drafted Dylan Thinneman is because we're going to see a lot more tight ends, and you got to have a safety capable of covering a very gifted tight end like a Brock Bowers or any one of, Laporte over in Detroit, Hockenson up in Minnesota. So you, out of self-defense, we drafted Dylan Thinneman. But here's the thing. Dylan Thinneman's going to be a fine player, OB, but when he makes 15 tackles and we're giving up 500 yards on offense, and we're going to say, oh, boy, Thinneman's a great difference maker. No! We gave up 500 yards because our front seven is worthless. We need to address the problem at hand, and unfortunately, due to this arrogance, they think that Montez Sweat is automatically going to come out of the ether and be a difference maker, which he hasn't been. They're going to say Dio Odingbo, who we signed for $17 million and got hurt, is going to automatically come back better and healthier, and now he's going to actually make a difference when he didn't do it for four games when he was healthy. We're not condemning these players. We're saying we do not like the way this is all being played out after watching how wonderful they laid the foundation last year with the offensive line. We all expected to see that happen this year with the defensive line, the defensive front.
And didn't happen.
Yeah, well, no. And if this draft was a movie after the opening, you know, sequence of Dylan Thinneman, I would have walked out.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We'll hear from Ryan Poles a little bit later, kind of explaining what his rationale was for not going for a defensive tackle or defensive end early on in this draft. And, you know, you think about Andrew Billings, he's one of the guys that's gone, big number 97, who didn't really do a whole lot last year. But Gervon Dexter.
You're talking about Billings?
Yeah, Billings, the, you know,
the big man. OB, because obviously, you know, if it wasn't within 2 yards of him, he'd fall on the ground.
Yeah, and Grady
Jarrett. So big and heavy.
He's going to be back as well and didn't really have much of an impact on anything last year. The one thing that I was intrigued about with the Thinneman, the pick, was the speed. Because you can kind of tell now, the Bears want to get faster on defense. And I get it, because there's a lot of fast wide receivers in this league now. He outran one of them. Justin Jefferson's 40 time was less than Thieneman's time at the combine.
Which is all great.
Which is great. But at the same time, as you've pointed out 100 times, the safeties are usually better when there's pressure up front because they have
there's no time to throw.
There's also another thing with defensive backs, okay? And it's kind of how fast do I want to get their speed? I don't know if you get me what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Because then you got to tackle.
Because we had some players
that didn't want to tackle,
were playing when I was playing, and like they didn't want to like hitting or whatever. No. I don't want to do that. So then we came up with that theory of how fast do we want to get their speed.
You know, there was a couple of predictions. Okay, Tremaine Edmonds. We signed Tremaine Edmonds thinking he could be a difference maker at middle linebacker. In fact, he was less than a difference maker in all regards. And at some point, you know, the writing was on the wall to let him walk. Okay, well, they signed Devin Bush from the Browns, and they brought back Jack Sanborn. So overall, I kind of like that better than what, you know, we saw last year. Because when Tremaine Edmonds went out and DeMarco
Jackson
came in, a kid off the street, he was more active, more, you know, in tune with that defense and much more of a playmaker than Edmonds ever was. So there has been some pluses as far as what they have done with the roster. But again, it always comes back home, OB. Who the hell's going to pressure Jordan Love? We don't have anybody right now that's capable.
No, and what you got to rely on, you got to come with a bevy of blitzes. That's the only way we can get to an opposing quarterback. And we did not address the number one problem that has been with this team for years. We addressed the offensive line finally last year. Finally. And look what it did. Look what it did. It helped our quarterback survive. Our offensive line helped our quarterback survive. We didn't win because of him. We won because of the offensive line to keep the kid alive, to make a miracle play. And that just happens to be a fact. And what we need is a defensive line. We did not correct it in this draft. And Danny, I don't know what the hell they were thinking about. And Andy, when we draft a tight end in this draft, we just, my God, we've got Cole Kmet, who is as good as any tight end in the league. Colston Loveland, it, absolutely terrific. And again, not to talk in circles here, but when they did, I turned to my wife, Ann, and I said, when they drafted a tight end, they did what? I said, Cole Kmet is gone. Why? Because they'd be able to get something for him, and they're going to bring this kid in. And I'm going to tell you what, if that is a fact, if I am correct in that, and Cole Kmet's gone, that's a Chicago kid who came up, who gave it everything, every damn play he's ever played with the Bears. And that's what we do with a kid like that. If that does happen, shame on the Bears if it does.
One of the things, and just for the fans, it may not be this year, but the writing is on the wall. Cole's going into his seventh year. Obviously, you know, every year you're in the league, there is an expected increase in salary. And at some point, you've got to let certain players go. And this, you know, Sam Roush may be the heir apparent to the Cole Kmet, you know, position at tight end, which would be more of a blocker than a receiver, which, of course, we all know Colston Loveland is far superior in that role. But back to real quick, you know, this defense that we were able to stick around, hang around late in games and find a way for Caleb Williams and the offense to pull, what was it, seven victories?
Seven.
Out of, you know, in the final 2 minutes. I mean, how long do you think that luck's going to run, OB? You think that's going to be another seven games pulled out in the last 2 minutes this year?
It's never happened before in the history of the game, and it will never happen again. Okay? And that's my total and complete belief. My Lord Almighty, what went on? We couldn't, folks, just go back from game to game and then go from quarter to quarter and half to half. First quarter, how many points we score? Nothing. Second quarter, how many points we score? None. Go in at halftime, make adjustments, come out in the third quarter, score nothing. And then we win a game 13-14 with no time left on the clock, basically 6-7 times last year. And here's another point, folks. The winning percentage of the teams that we played in the 17-game schedule, the winning percentage of those teams that we beat was 37%. 37%. Not even 40, not even 50%. We played the lousiest teams in the National Football League last year. Don't forget that.
Well, we won't forget it because now we are playing a first-place schedule. Yep. And the second part about that one is, Andy, before we go to break, we're not going to sneak up on anybody.
No, sir.
Yeah, we won the division.
You know, Danny and Andy, you think you're going to pull off seven miracle finishes against, Seattle Seahawks? I don't think so. Time after time, because that's basically who you have to play, because we won our division. You got to play all the other top teams. We'll see what happens.
Well, evidently, Ryan Poles thinks we're going to sneak seven wins out of nowhere.
All right, much more coming up on our Happen to Be Draft Show, which is sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
We're just getting started.
We are just getting started. Let's get into the WGN Radio Newsroom. Happen to Be Draft Show, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Logan Jones, taken in the second round by the Bears out of the University of Iowa as a center. He graded out between a third and a fourth round pick. You know, center obviously was something that the Bears had to address with the sudden retirement of Drew Dahlman at age 27 after having a tremendous
year. Which
was
crazy.
Really crazy.
And we don't know.
Yeah, there might be something going on that we don't know about.
Exactly.
But they definitely needed one.
Let's talk about that. And we just mentioned it in the prior segment, OB, about how the team addressed the offensive line, and it went from almost, you know, a turnstile where they gave up the most sacks in the NFL.
It made our quarterback almost like an all-world quarterback.
Yep.
Those five guys up front were the difference makers. Anybody tells you anything different, they don't know what they're talking about, period.
So we traded back in February a fifth-round pick to the New England Patriots for Garrett Bradbury, who was their backup center. And evidently, and OB, you and I were just talking about it off air, evidently through, you know, the last couple of months, they've watched him in drills, whatever, they are not impressed, and they realize maybe they need to invest in that position. So, voila, we, with the 57th pick, a late second, by the way, a late second, we drafted Logan Jones. Now, Logan Jones was recognized as the best center in college football. Iowa, where Jay Hilgenberg, my teammate, the great Jay Hilgenberg, that's where, you know, obviously he came from. So that's a good thing.
But Iowa, Dan, has always been noted for linemen.
Oh, yeah.
Especially offensive linemen. I mean, there's a litany of them. There's a ton of them.
But that being said, after you traded a fifth round, we still have a big question mark at left tackle. Remember, when we last seen this offensive line, Joe Tooney, who was all pro at left guard, they had to move out to left tackle in the playoff game against the Rams because, you know, we had injuries and, unfortunately, bad play at left tackle.
And they draft a center.
Now, that shows a little arrogance there,
yeah.
Expecting Braxton Jones, who was no more than maybe mediocre at his best, to not only recover from a leg injury, but to come back and be better or good enough to where then, you know, we don't think we have to really address that.
Yeah.
Now we're through the draft. We haven't addressed that. Now we know that Oz Trapillo, who played a lot of the year at left tackle, did some good things. He was a second-round pick a year ago. But all that being said, OB, your point about the play of not only Caleb, but the running game with DeAndre Swift and Mungungai and the passing, all it was made possible by the excellence of the offensive line. And
dead on, Danny. Your statement is dead on.
And evidently, We're not worried as a, you know, organization about that most important left tackle position. So
and why the hell didn't we do that, Danny? You know how old this kid Logan Jones is, folks? He's 24 years old. He's 24 years old. Aren't you like 17 or 18 when you're a freshman in college?
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me. He's 24 years old, gonna be 25.
He liked the chow hall. He didn't want to leave.
Yeah, wanted to stay.
You know, but the point being is they addressed that position maybe more out of urgency, thinking that Garrett Bradbury wasn't what they expected once they got him here and running through drills, whatever. All that being said, Logan Jones won the Remington Award, which is given to the best center in college football. Now, you said he was the third best prospect.
Yep.
That's different than actual performance.
Right.
But Logan Jones, again, we're not knocking these players, folks. We're basically knocking where the plan is. What is the plan? And, again, it all comes back. Let me just throw these stats out. Now that we talked about the offensive line, and, yeah, maybe the offense will, again, be top six in a lot of the important categories. Maybe Caleb will be the best quarterback in football. We don't know. All that being said, if you got to score 50 points a game, I don't care who you are, you're not going to do it all the time. Now, this defense of ours, when we had zero takeaways or one or none, we allowed 29.3 points a football game. So think about Caleb's job. Okay, if we don't get a turnover, I'm going to have to score 30-something or we're beat. The difference was when we...
Miracles.
Well, when we got at least two or more turnovers, what do you think the record was, OB?
I don't know, Dan.
9-0. And how many of those seven wins in those nine were last-minute heroics?
Yeah.
Despite the fact that we got a basket of turnovers.
They were last second, Dan, not minutes.
So my point is, OB, and I think you'll echo this, we're walking a thin line here, expecting that, oh, don't worry about the defensive front. We're going to be able to get a bunch of turnovers, and we're going to be, you know, able to live vicariously by the opponent's turnovers.
Not against some of the teams we're going to play this year.
There you go. And so, again, we go through this draft. Now, folks, we're saying they did not address the defensive line in the draft. And part of that is because they are operating under the, you know, illusion that Dio Odingbo is going to come back and be a difference maker. By the way, he and Montez Sweat are totaling almost $38 million a year in salary. $38 million for what you want to call it, great production? You want to call it mediocre? You want to call it bad? I'm saying $38 million, that's a big chunk for two players that wouldn't play.
Do nothing, Dan.
Well, they wouldn't start for most other teams. All that being said, they're the better players of the defensive line. The Bears signed Neville Gallimore. Never heard of him. Kentavious Street. He was a fourth-round pick by San Francisco. And the last time I checked, Andy, the 49ers were desperate for defensive linemen.
Yeah.
When we played them out there, we went up and down the field. Well, they thought so much of Kentavious Street, they let him
go. Yep.
And James Lynch was a fourth-round pick by the Minnesota Vikings. We all know that, you know, Minnesota lives off of pass rush pressure. And if they don't think you can help them, then what does that tell you about, you know, this player, James Lynch? What is he going to do here if he couldn't do it there?
Dan, what the people that you just mentioned, they're right after their name is a gigantic question mark.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? That's a fact.
Yeah.
A gigantic
question mark.
As tall
as Andy.
There's no solid words. There are so solid stats, you know, that are positive, champion. They're not there, okay? Basically, they go the other way, and those are the people we sign. And again, the point which Dan has been hammering home, and I've been screaming about next to forever, is you got to win up front, offensive line, defensive line. Again, not to talk in circles, we fix the offensive line. What they should have done is addressed. Our problem is the defensive line. It's right in front of you. That's how you're going to win. Period.
Happen to be draft special, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, Andy Mazur and the guys. Real quick, before we get into Xavion Thomas.
Does anybody know what he just said?
He plays the game with a different kind of aggression.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
He plays the game with a different kind of aggression. I want to get to him in a second.
He was so good they had to pay a fortune to get another coach in there.
A good point.
In LSU.
We were talking during the break, and as you were talking about how the little arrogance situation is taking over and perhaps feeling a little bit better about themselves than maybe they should after a successful season.
And doing a poor job of self-awareness and assessing where this team is and what it needs.
I can't help but go back to the previous time the Bears were in the playoffs. I mean, we made such a big deal about it being 7 years since they were legitimately in the playoffs, not during the COVID year. And that was Matt Nagy with everybody else's players. They weren't all his players, and this crazy offense that he thought was going to do well, but Mitch Trubisky was his quarterback. They go to the playoffs, and we don't hear from them again because they didn't improve upon anything that they needed to improve upon, especially offensively then, because the defense is what carried them to that championship and of the division and getting to the playoffs. And, of course, you know what happened with Cody Parkey and, you know, the double doink, and then they don't get past the first round. But I can't help but think a little bit about the mentality of what's going on now compared to back then when you didn't really help yourself going forward.
Exactly. And the hidden hand of that whole thing was Vic Fangio, and that defense was top five. And they were salty and they were aggressive, something that this man beside me has written down week after week after week about we have to be more aggressive. But more than being aggressive, we have to be able to be dominant, to win at the line of scrimmage. You don't win, you know, throwing the ball 30 yards deep every play. You don't. That you win at the line of scrimmage. All that being said, we haven't had a chance to discuss the fact that part of the reason the young man that we picked in the third round, Xavion Thomas, was drafted is because DJ Moore was given, you know, his papers and traded away. Now, here's the thing. If you remember, folks, at the end of the Ram loss, late in the game, we had the ball, time on the clock, and there was a pass play where DJ Moore, and it was almost like nobody wanted to say what really happened, but DJ Moore, for whatever reason, broke off his route, and of course, the quarterback, Caleb Williams, has no special ESP mental ability
to know
what he's thinking. He throws it where the ball should be thrown. And it was an interception instead of us going down and kicking a field goal to win the game. We'd said in the post game, OB, if you remember, that this team has to make a statement. And they did. And everybody that's a DJ Moore fan probably thought, oh, well, you know, you can't win. But folks, Ben Johnson has basically laid down the laws, saying you're going to do it our way or you're going to find someplace else to do what you think you
can. I wish the hell he'd have started that in training camp.
Well,
instead of seven miracle finishes that were they're so unaccounted for, it's unbelievable how that even happened. But he went. I called it camp nothing.
It was a camp nothing.
And guess what? And then we played the exhibition season, folks. He never played any of his starters on both sides of the ball. Didn't play him. Didn't get him ready to play for the season. How do we open up? We open up the season 0-2. You know what we did? Nothing.
Well, back to the third round pick Xavier Thomas, who has amazing speed. Folks, I'm just telling you, 4.28 is like crazy, crazy fast. Go back 8, 10, 12 years. There was a kid on this team called Johnny Knox.
Mm-hmm, I remember.
We all remember Johnny Knox. He wasn't, you know, a pro bowler, but Johnny Knox had a great value because he was often sent on deeper routes with this exceptional speed, and it created gaps, holes, places where we could throw the ball. And when he got hurt, when Johnny Knox was basically rendered, it was a neck injury,
yep,
correct?
It was terrible.
Rendered incapable of ever playing again, everything changed. Now, Xavier Thomas has that type of speed, but also did a player that we drafted in the third round 2 years ago.
Yes.
What was his name, Andy?
I think his name was Velus Jones.
That's right, Velus Jones. So you're, you know, we are hoping and crossing our fingers and legs, OB, that Xavier Thomas isn't, you know, a Velus Jones in wolf's clothing, and that he actually will. And what he said there, the way he plays, all mm-hmm. that. Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
We'll see. But if he does have, you know, what it takes to play in the NFL and be fearless and run those deep routes and run them to the maximum of his ability, that could be a hidden hand as far as opening up so much more room for Romo Dunze and Loveland
and
Cole Kmet and all the other players. So, you know, again, you know, this is another one of those instances where we have to draft somebody because, you know, we found that a player didn't either fit or was willing to do what he was supposed to do. And I personally, I'm glad to see that we have addressed that. And the Luther Burden,
mm-hmm.
Luther Burden, I don't know if a lot of people remember this, but there's, you know, a lot of these new PPF breakdowns, OB, where it's almost like, you know, if you don't, a receiver, if you don't get thrown 12, you know, balls, then you're really not a big factor. Well, they look, if you're thrown 3 or 5, and what you do with the ball when you're given the opportunity, it's a sort of a statistical a data point. And Luther Burden was in the top 5 in the NFL as far as difference maker whenever he was given a chance.
Right.
So combine, you know, Rome and Luther and now Xavier Thomas together, this could get pretty interesting.
Well, that's off all these young guys we got. Let's just keep our fingers crossed. And let's say they make the team, okay? You know, it's not a sure fire thing that they're going to make the team. But let's say they make it and they help improve our team. And what do we have to improve on? A lot of stuff, folks. And I want to go back to what I said earlier in the show. What did we do the first quarter all last year? All you got to do is go look back, folks. First quarter, how many points we scored? Basically none. Second quarter, again, basically none. Going at halftime, make the adjustments, come out into the third quarter, after the adjustments, and how many points we put up? Basically nothing. And then again, like I said earlier, wait till the last minute or the last seconds or second of a game to win it on miracles. That is not going to fly, because I mentioned before, and it's worth mentioning again, I believe it was 37% of the teams that we played last season, their winning percentages across the board in 70 was 37%. Not now, folks. They better get ready. They better saddle up. Coaches better get smarter. The players better get better and smarter.
And on that note, OB did a big breakdown of seven categories he wants to see this team address. We're going to go into it when we get back.
The Happen OB Draft Show is sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Which is sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, the great Silverado.
Andy Mazur alongside the fellas here as we await the Bears' seventh round picks. That's the last two they have. They have pick number 239 and number 241. Right now, the draft, as I look at it here, is in round number six, and it's coming toward the end of the sixth round, so we may have some Bear selections before we get off the air here at 5 o'clock as we kind of go through what the Bears have done and now what the Bears should do heading into this new season, because obviously the vibes are high. You talk to pretty much anybody on the street, they're wearing Bears stuff and we're real happy about what occurred last year. I do give credit to Ben Johnson and the guys like Cole Kmet who have been interviewed recently, and saying that they're kind of sick of hearing from people about how great a season they had because they lost the last game that they played. I mean, they lost the last two, Andy. Yeah, I mean, they wanted to be the last team standing, obviously losing to the Rams and in the playoffs. But it's kind of it's a refreshing way to look at it because we were so hungry for somebody to do something good with this team that we're ready to throw compliments around even when they lose in a playoff game.
Well, Ben Johnson was a godsend, but as good as things were last year, they have to be better. And my friend has six categories, not seven, six, that he wants to address. What are they?
Over? Actually, you're correct the first time.
We added a seventh while you're out of the room. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Number one, folks, this is what I've seen last year and in many decades and whatever to win. This is what you have to have, and this is where this team has to be accountable. Number one. Ben Johnson, training camp, you have to make everybody and everything accountable. Training camp, make it accountable. Number two, offense, one thing, play faster. Get out of the huddle, get up to the line, move it down the field. Number three, third down conversions. We struggle on third down. I believe we're the last in the league on converting on third down. Number four, Caleb. Accuracy. Caleb, accuracy. Number five, defense. Defensive line play. Big, big time. We need those three, four guys to make it happen. Number six, all the way around, folks, from Ben Johnson on down, aggressive football. If we could get things going this year, we've got to be aggressive on both sides of the ball. And number seven, is a smarter Ben Johnson. Why do I say that? It started in training camp, Ben. You didn't do it last year. Okay? So training camp, accountable, offensive play faster, third down, convert, Caleb, accuracy, defensive line play better, aggressive football, a smarter Ben Johnson. Those are the seven things that I think you want to be a world champion. That's what we have to do.
All right. Let's start at the top. And actually, the smarter Ben Johnson encompasses the lack of urgency that we saw in training camp. But not only training camp, preseason games. Folks, it won't be very long, maybe next year or the year after.
He didn't play them, Dan, last year.
Well,
not one of them.
Well, in the next couple of years, they're going to go to two training camps. I mean, excuse me, two preseason yep. games. And make it an 18-game season. So those windows of opportunity to get better. You know, long ago, Lou Holtz had this maxim. Every day you take the practice field, you got to get better. You say, well, if I just maintain what I'm doing, I'll be fine. No, you either get better or worse. You don't stay the same. And you can see that in different players. DJ Moore was not the same player we saw 3 years ago. You can tell his attitude was different. His performance was different. His impact on the team was different. That's part of the reason why he's gone. But all that being said, it has to start with the leaders of the team. Now, let's go back 2 years. Do you remember Eberflus having eight captains,
yep.
naming a rookie quarterback a captain when he's never yet played a game? All this idiocy. You name your captains after you go through training camp and you see the different players and their attitude about how they want to not only compete but excel as a part of this team. Coming out of training camp last year, who did you see, Andy, that impressed you? Nobody, because
yeah,
they didn't play.
They didn't play anybody.
So, OB, your initial point.
Got to get ready for the season, Dan.
You have to. And let's look at what happened. We opened the season with the Vikings, with J.J. McCarthy, who did virtually nothing in the first half, but caught fire in the second half, and they came back and they beat us. A lot of that was because we weren't prepared. We were not prepared. Then I can't remember, was it the next week?
Was the Lions in Detroit.
Detroit. We get slaughtered by Detroit. Why?
In training camp, they weren't. There were no accountability, Dan.
You don't think that Dan Campbell went home that night and poured him a cold one, smiling to himself,
probably
saying,
a couple cold ones.
Boy, I showed that punk Ben Johnson what it's like to try and prepare a football team. My team killed his. You know, I mean, those are things that will have to be not only addressed, but Ben Johnson needs to know that accountability factor that you're talking about. It has to start day one, and it means playing everybody in the preseason.
I'm going to take it one step further.
And the quarterback. He's got to play, Dan. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's
Andy.
Okay. Before we get to the break, one step further. The accountability has to not just start in training camp. It's got to continue throughout the entire year because the way they ended the season, there was no excuse for the way they ended the season. The two games that they lost to get into going into the playoffs. Yeah, they had things locked up, but they could have moved up. They could have moved down. It just showed that there was nothing. And they played like they were.
They went through the motions.
That's a point of Ben Johnson. Yeah. My last one, number yeah. seven, was Ben Johnson. A smarter Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's what it has to be. And opened up with what you just talked about and Dan. Training camp, accountability. Make everybody, not only yourself, your coaches, your fellow coaches, but the players. Make them accountable. Make it worth something. You only got 17 games. And you've got this training camp. You've got three exhibition games to get ready. And you did nothing in training camp. You don't play your players in the exhibition season. And you start out 0-2. My God.
Down the stretch in late December and January, the Seattle Seahawks beat the best team in football twice, the L.A. Rams. They got better. We didn't.
Happy to be Draft Show, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Back with more of OB's list in a moment. Logan Jones, the center from Iowa, early draft pick for the Bears. Happy to be Draft Show, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. While we were at break, the Bears traded into the sixth round. They are on the clock right now. The pick is apparently in, but has not yet been announced. So they moved up to the 213th pick. They traded with Buffalo. That pick has gone from Seattle to Jacksonville to Detroit to Buffalo and now to the Bears. at number 32 in the sixth round. And again, it is pick number 213 overall. So we'll tell you as soon as that becomes official.
That could possibly be somebody to place in the defensive line.
It would be really nice just to say it, you know?
Yeah, just to, I don't care if the guy comes here and he's cut after he's one day
and
of
it
practice.
Is. And it's okay, it's back a defensive, to the list. It's a defensive tackle, by the way.
Okay, number two on OB's list is play faster on offense.
That's it. That's the key. And I think all you listeners could see that. Takes him forever to get in the huddle, forever to get out of the huddle, and then when he wants to change it at the line, it takes, again, another forever. You got to get in and out. Get up there. Go fast.
Okay, so much of the preseason, this should have been addressed, but guess what? Caleb had a brand-new offense on his plate. He had a brand-new offensive line, especially the center, Drew Dolman, that they had to coordinate, you know, pass protection, all the different things. It should be much better. But you can't do it in a meeting room. You've got to do it on the field, but more importantly, in the exhibition games. Do it and learn how quickly you can operate and keep the defense on its heels.
Number three, Danny, third down, convert.
One of the things that you brought up was the fact that Ben Johnson said, going back over last year's tape, there was a slew of possible pass completions.
80 to 100. Ben Johnson said they went over the films and told Caleb the with more accurate throws. That's a quote. 80 to 100 more passes that he should have completed, and the problem was they were not accurate throws. They got to be more accurate throws and sharper throws. That's a quote from Ben Johnson.
Well, and that brings us into number four, Caleb's accuracy.
Wow.
Andy, you brought it up an hour ago when we were talking about it. Last year, one of the things that Ben Johnson was hanging his hat on was he wanted his quarterback to complete 70% of his passes. I said at the time, that's unrealistic.
Very.
In the new offense with the, you know, the things that were all, you know, prevalent and what they had to deal with. And sure enough, Caleb struggled with that all season long. But more importantly, the easy throws. What do we call it? The runner's ball.
Yep.
Throwing the ball in front of Deontay Swift on the wheel routes, placement of the ball to tight ends, all these different things. It's got to get better, OB.
Danny, and I'm going to tell you, so now, this is, Ben Johnson has alluded to it at least that I could see a minimum 2 to 3 times, maybe 4 times this offseason about his quarterback's accuracy. And I just mentioned quotes right here from the newspaper. Right. That's Ben Johnson talking about his quarterback, and his main problem is his accuracy. Okay? I'm not saying, yeah, I am saying it. Dan's saying it. It's just the fact. Okay, and again, what we're going to find out, and it's got to start right from the get-go, folks. Training camp is so important, folks. I don't know if you really have an idea, but that's, you got to get down. You got to get those offensive linemen and defensive linemen. You got to get them ready every play. Bang, bang, 1st and 10, you know, 2nd and 3, 2nd and 8, 3rd and 9, whatever it might be. And you got to work at it. You got to get it in your system, ready to play. Then get into the exhibition games and actually play your players that are going to be playing. Don't sit them on a bench walking around in shorts and sunglasses. That's imbecilic. It's asinine. Get them out on the field and get them to play. Get accountability. Get them used to playing with each other. And they're not going to do it by sitting on a bench in shorts and sunglasses and waving each other. Disgusting.
Okay. Now we're to number five, the play of the defensive line. And let me just say this, folks. Make no mistake. Last year, Ben Johnson asserted his will in the draft, getting Colston Loveland, Luther Burden, all those guys that made the offense what it was last year. What did Ryan Poles do? he addressed the defensive line by signing a number of free agents. Think about this. Grady Jarrett and Dio Odingbo signed a total of $89 million worth of contracts. You're paying $90 million for these two deadbeats that did virtually nothing last year. And that is one of the things that I think will come back. And I'm just telling you, folks, this draft is okay. I'll give it a C minus. But the main thing is he thinks that signing free agency, you know, the signings and free have to, you know, blossom this year. Do you have confidence in it, OB?
Danny, what has to happen is ownership has to pull their management team, which is part of their general manager, okay? They got to pull them in there, sit them down, and talk. You can't throw money away like this at players who can't even play dead. Are you kidding me? And that's a fact, folks. These guys, some of these guys we have on this team, I'm telling you, it's beyond belief. Beyond belief, what I've seen and what happens. Better get started. Right from the get-go, accountability. A key word.
You know, we used to talk, Andy, when we would match up against somebody before the game. We'd be looking at their team, and I'd be, you know, thinking about our team. And I'm thinking, how many of their players could start for us? Invariably, it was very few, if any. How many of our defensive line could start for the Seattle Seahawks?
Not one.
Probably. Montez Sweat is making over $100 million in his contract, something like $24 million a year. And you think he would be a factor in Seattle? He'd be lucky to make the team.
You think the head coach of Seattle, I'd give him a little bit more credit than they win. They're a terrifically coached team. You think they'd have that guy on the team, on the football field, one of his players right now?
Yeah, there was a reason he was available.
So think about that, folks. You know, we have, unfortunately, made a bunch of bad decisions about the second most important position.
The money that we're paying these guys, Dan, you just mentioned, between the other two, almost $100 million. And we pay him, what,
It was 105 over 4 or 5 years.
I mean,
something crazy.
Crazy.
But here's the thing, folks. Buddy Ryan said it best 30-something years, 40 years ago. If the quarterback's the most important player on the team, the second most important player is the guy that can get him, that can hit him, cause issues, force bad throws, force fumbles, strip sacks, all those things. Think about it. We have virtually no one. Now, Sweat has made a handful of plays in his, 3 years now? When he's on the field.
At most.
I think he plays less than 60% of the time. That has to change for this thing to turn around. And when we get back, Andy, we're going to talk about the last thing, and it's an overarching concept that we need to stress, and that is about we need to be the aggressor.
Bingo.
Think back.
Bingo.
Just this year in the Super Bowl, think about Drake May, who led the NFL in the QBR and all those different stats, and what was, you know, possible for him in that game. Nothing, because of why? Defensive pressure. And we have to be aggressive. Right now, you know, we basically are kind of, what would you say? We're believing in some smoke that, everybody's going to come back healthy and we're going to be better next year. Well, like I said, that's smoke.
Of the seven things, Dan, real quickly, Andy here, that's the one thing, Dan, we've got. That's the one thing, offensively, defensively, coaches and everybody. Aggressive football. Aggressive football from here on out.
All right, 30 minutes left. By the way, while we were chatting, the sixth-round pick, the Bears, did take a defensive tackle from Georgia Tech, Jordan Vandenberg, who is a 6'3", 310-pound inside lineman. We'll read up on him and have some thoughts about it when we come back from the news, which is coming up next here, the Happen OB Show, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. First pick, Dylan Thieneman, Happen OB Draft Show, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It is kind of amazing in this day and age, the way that these draft boards get put together and the discipline that some GMs operate under, and there are some that don't operate under that same discipline and maybe get a little wild and but may strike on a pick, but it looks like, you know, at least Poles kind of sticks to his guns with what he has in preparation before the draft starts.
Well, earlier I said that, you know, Caleb Williams was a draft pick that he had to make self-defense.
Yeah.
Here in a minute, I will go through a breakdown of the 19 quarterbacks that will have been selected in the last 5 years in the first round.
Okay.
Who do you think was the number one in the last 5 years on the quarterback rating chart?
Allen.
Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams, oh, really?
Caleb Williams. You mean Josh Allen?
Yeah, Josh Allen.
He was 7 years ago.
That was 7 years ago.
Okay. Anyway, the point being is that...
So much for statistics.
Well, the one thing that I, you know, was going to bring back up is going through your list, you know, how this team has to, you know, try and prepare for which it should be a grueling season. Last year, they came out of nowhere, and they got hot in the middle of the year. They won a bunch of games that nobody, you know, can really explain other than it happened. We saw it. But, you know, your point, OB, about training camp, how we have to make sure that we do our due diligence in training camp.
Accountable.
Accountability is such a big part about it. And if you think about it, the head coach not opting to play the players in the preseason games gives them a buyout. They don't have to be accountable.
That's coming off in training camp. They did nothing. They never hit. They never did anything.
Folks, the year after we won the Super Bowl, we would have to play three series every preseason game. Some of those, you know, I think that next year, I think we had four games. And every one of them, Buddy Ryan would basically tell me, hey, you're playing three series. If I don't see it, if I don't see what I want to see, you're staying in until I see it. So you might as well get it done. Well, that needs to be the theory of how Ben Johnson opts to address the playing time of all starters in training camp. Now, Joe Tooney, all right, one series, maybe a series and a half, then gets a, okay. But last year, what was crazy, this isn't a team that won a Super Bowl or a team that had been together 2 or 5 years. This was a team basically as a startup, a brand new coach, brand new system, all those things. It is still mind-boggling to me that we did not address that. I say we. That Ben Johnson didn't want to address that. Now, all that being said, Ben Johnson was obviously one of the, you know, runners in the annual Coach of the Year award, right? And it went to our friend, Mr. Vrabel. He was the NFL Coach of the Year, got his team to the Super Bowl in New England. All that being said, I'll guarantee you, Drake May played in the preseason. Mm-hmm. I went back and looked at it. The defensive players, they played in the preseason. So hopefully this year, Ben Johnson will not only have addressed that, OB, but learn by the mistakes that he made last year.
Danny, that was so well put. You know, I tell you, when I was doing a lot of thinking this offseason. And again, there's just one concept. And that's win. Be a world champion, okay? If I said it once, I said it a million times. But anyways, these are the seven things that I came up with. And I'd like to repeat them again one more time. Danny, you said some great things about each one and every one of these situations. Again, training camp, make it accountable. Offense, it's right in front of you. You got to play faster. Get in and out. Third down, You got to convert on third down, eat up the clock, put points on the board. Caleb, his accuracy, and that is a problem. That is a problem, and Ben Johnson has made mention of it several times. Five, defensive line play. We want to be a better football team. That's where it starts. Offensive line, defensive line. We fixed the offensive line. We've got a defensive line that we just passed on this coming draft. Let's see what happens in free agency. But if we don't win up front, we're not going to win, period. And again, six, number one, aggressive football on both sides of the ball. Aggressive football. Convert on third down. And to make it all happen, a smarter Ben Johnson.
One of the things that, and let's go back and look at this first-round draft pick. And OB, you were really pumped up when I picked you up here 3 hours ago. You had watched tape. You said, this kid, great range, great speed.
Wow. He impressed the hell out of me.
All that being said, OB, he fell to the 25th spot in the draft. Very interesting that he was projected to go where?
Top 15, and Minnesota was supposed to take him.
Minnesota. And why is that? Well, Harrison Smith, there.
You think some of these teams might lie a little bit?
Well, it could be.
Not let the real cat out of the bag.
Well, but the thing is, Harrison Smith is 37 years old. I don't know when he turns 38. But he's starting to get nicked up. And I was thinking that made perfect sense. But instead, what did they draft, Andy?
They drafted Caleb Banks, a defensive tackle who has foot problems out of Florida.
Instead of a safety that, you obviously, you know, everybody, Ryan Poles, everybody's giddy over, Minnesota opted to go and draft a defensive lineman, somebody that can affect the game for 70 plays, not a handful. And, you know, a safety, if you're running a die play, whatever, okay, here and there, you know, on occasion, a safety will make 8 or 10 tackles in a game. Whereas the defensive lineman, they can affect the game every single down, even if it's a pass that's completed. A defensive lineman can, you know, collapse the pocket and force the quarterback out and all these different things. And still, it looked to me like as good as Dylan Thinneman was as a prospect, they opted for a nicked up defensive lineman that they know has the ability to affect the game the way we are begging to find somebody here in Chicago to affect the game. So in my mind, that's something that we'll kind of have to keep an eye on over the next few years because, you know, both these players, obviously they're first round picks, but in our world, we wanted defensive line and, you know, we wound up with the safety.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out, our final break, as we get to our final segment. I want to get into something real quick, too, when we come back about the fact that at least Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles seem to be on the same page as far as what they want out of a first-round draft choice and even a second-round pick. I can't say the same about the LA Rams, and we'll explain when we come back. Happen OB Draft Show, sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears, right? So that was the Bears' third-round pick. We know Dylan Thinneman was the Bears' first-round pick, the safety out of Oregon with tremendous speed, a 4.35 40. We've heard all about that. Now, I'm sure that Ben Johnson would have liked an offensive player because that's Ben Johnson likes offensive players. We know that. But at least he and Ryan Poles are always on the same page, or so it seems.
Well, he got three, you know.
He got his three. He got a center, a tight end, a wide receiver back on day two, and then Ryan Poles took back over and got three defensive players to end the draft. But the first round had some intrigue to it. It had a trade where a guy was talking to a team, and then his agent had to come in and say that guy was traded. And then we had the 13th pick in the draft, and that was by the Los Angeles Rams, and they decided that they were going to take Ty Simpson, the quarterback out of Alabama, with the reigning league MVP, yes, getting older, Matthew Stafford, as part of the plan for the Rams. Sean McVay did not sound – Sean McVay could not have pretended to be less interested in the fact that they drafted Ty Simpson, quarterback out of Alabama.
Okay. Well, and obviously, Les Snead is the general manager of the L.A. Rams. Now, folks, just so you know, we're going to have to deal with the Rams some way, some form or fashion if we want to go to the Super Bowl. If we don't play them, we're going to see them in the playoffs or whatever. So it is of importance. And going into the draft, getting ready for my show over in Pro Football Weekly, Andy. Anyway, everybody knew that Mendoza was going first overall. And then everybody said, well, a quarterback won't happen again and, you know, a pick until maybe the second or third. It may be Simpson or somebody else, Nussmeier, whatever, right, from LSU. Anyway, I thought that he would be the 19th pick by the Jets, a Bama quarterback. Think about it. The Jets need a quarterback. And Ty Simpson started off last season house of fire, and then he got nicked up and got hurt, and he wasn't the same down the stretch. So he fell off, you know, the board for a lot of folks. All that being said, of all the teams in the NFL, and I kind of put the Bears in the position of, okay, your window is now open. You've got a smart, capable coach. You've got a talented quarterback. How can we find a way to get to the Super Bowl? Think about this. Seattle came out of nowhere. Yeah. A rookie coach and a quarterback that had been bounced around the league, and they opted to sign in free agency. So here we go. A talented coach and a talented quarterback with the right people around it. They go and win that, you know, last year's Super Bowl. Well, the Rams, to me, their clock is ticking because of your aforementioned Matt Stafford. Stafford's getting close to 40.
Yep, 39, I think, this year he'll be.
The long and short of it is they needed receivers. They needed defensive linemen. They needed corners. They needed a lot of other things, not a quarterback. So, obviously, the coach and the GM, they're viewing this in a completely different manner than what we on the outside. By the way, OB, who do you think the odds makers are favoring to win the Super Bowl this coming season, right now?
New England.
Nope. The L.A. Rams, they're 850. So if you bet $100, you get back 850. If you bet today, who's second?
New England.
Seattle, 880. Who's third?
New England.
Buffalo, 950. Then New England at 980. Kansas City, Philadelphia, and the Chicago are at $1,000. And the Bears, 2,400. So 24-1 right now. And it'll be very interesting after the draft because it will change because of what happened and transpired with the draft picks and the trades on where everybody thinks the team is going to come from that will win the Super Bowl this season.
The number one change that has to happen, in my mind, going into the 26-27 season, gentlemen, excuse me, is our head coach. Our head coach. He's got to change his philosophy. We have to make training camp accountable, and we have to be aggressive on both sides of the ball. Those two things make every day in training camp, every hour, make it count. Make it positive to get ready for the season. You know who you're going to play. Get your team ready. You've got time to do it. And get them ready. And the second one again is aggressive. We are not an aggressive football team. We have to be aggressive offensively. Attack, attack. And when you're done attacking, attack again. Same thing on defense. If we can follow those two ideas and live with it and make it work, I'm telling you, we're going to be a legitimate contender, and we won't be winning games by the luck and bounce of the ball and some miracle play or whatever. We've got to take command, and that's how you do it. Accountability.
All right, real quick before we get out of here, let's look around the league or around the division. Mm-hmm. Detroit Lions. Detroit led the NFL the division in margin of victory, but they came in fourth place. They had to address the offense and defensive line. What did they get, Andy?
They got an offensive tackle named Blake Miller out of Clemson.
He will start at right tackle, and Sewell will move to Pinay Sewell will move to left tackle.
Yeah, that seems like a logical. And then they got second defense. Round, they got the edge from Michigan, Derek Moore.
Good player.
So your point is you're trying, they're addressing their problems.
Okay, let's go to Green Bay. Now, the thing about Green Bay, and when we last saw Green Bay, we beat their butts in the playoffs. And again, it was a last-second miracle play after, you know, having, I think, five different opportunities to score in the second half. We finally have to come up with an amazing play to win. What did they draft?
They didn't have a pick until the second round. They picked their first pick was at number 52, and it was a cornerback.
Because of Micah Parsons,
right,
who we did not see
right
those last two games.
That was a cornerback out of South Carolina, Brandon Cisse.
Okay. So they are drafting to prepare for the Detroit offense, the Bears offense. All right. What about Minnesota?
So Minnesota, we talked about Caleb Banks was their first-round pick. At number 18, he's the defensive tackle out of Florida.
And did they trade or get rid of Grenard?
They traded him.
They traded Grenard, their excellent pass rusher, because he wanted a big salary, a contract, and they can't pay everybody.
Yeah, and they got a linebacker, Jake Golday, from Cincinnati in the second round. I'm sorry, with pick number 51.
Okay. Well, As we sit here today, looking around the division, it's doable, OB, but I love your seven topics that they need to not only adhere to, but actively, you know, address them. And your 2 points. Number one, accountability in training camp in the preseason.
Exactly.
To get prepared. And then secondly, be more aggressive.
If we can do that. Out of the seven, if we can just come through on those two sentences, those words, we will win. We will be one hell of a competitive football team 26-27 season.
Jets, it's always fun. It went real fast. We'll talk again just before the season begins. The schedule will be released in a couple of weeks, and we'll figure out exactly when we'll be on the air with you.
Noon games.
Yeah. I think we're going to get a couple of night games because of the way they played last year, unfortunately. So get ready for that. Start your training camp for that.
It's sudden death action that we'll be on about 10 times.
All right. Happy to be Draft Show. It's been sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.